Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Linder, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, it's a good thing that we don't gamble on this show, because I thought which turned out to be Super Tuesday was going to be Black Tuesday, and it was just spectacular. We all thought, I think we all went to, in terms of the team that had the best chance of winning, I went with the Blues, but I wasn't going to like bet on the Blues. Brian, you went with?
I went with the Blues only because I kind of expected the other three teams to lose.
Yeah. And then, Plaza, who'd you go with?
I mean,
who did you go
with? I went with Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's so gutsy. Just thinking you would have had the guts to bet on that, you wouldn't be here today. You'd be driving to Rolls. You'd be driving.
I would have taken the week, of course. Yes. Nonetheless, though, no money in my account for the W, but still fantastic.
Really
absolutely
good.
Fantastic.
All right, we got a lot going on today, and we have a good guest list. Bob Nightingale is going to join us. Is the National League going to have a DH this season? Where is Bryce Harper going to play? He'll join us at 10:30. Martin will be at 11. Dr. Rick, 11:05. And then Aaron Perlett is going to join us. He's written an article about Jason Tatum possibly performing the role that Len Bias was supposed to perform in Boston before he died 2 days after the draft. Keep in mind, Tatum last night, 25 points. All right, our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. The note, I'm not exactly Don Cherry when it comes to hockey analysis. I ask questions and listen to Strick. But yesterday I did say this to Chris Kerber about the Blues' young defenseman. I know the way we perceive players, the most dramatic perception change has definitely been Oscar Sundquist. But would Vince Dunn be a close second?
And the Blues, a quick change as Matheson had that shot blocked. Now the Panthers turn it over. And Vince Dunn comes in. Shoots. He scores! Vince Dunn has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
I'd like to thank the Academy. Anyway, what a game. Down 2-0 in the third. They come back and score 3 on 6 shots right away. Jordan Binnington is just a winner. The Blues are winners when their dads are there, 6-1 overall. So I guess they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. Brian, in terms of the playoff situation for the Blues, as we speak this
one
morning,
point behind Vancouver for the second wild card. The
wow.
Canucks lost, I think, to Washington last night.
Unbelievable. So let's go inside the locker room after the game.
Well, it shows you can win games. Like, you're going to be down in games in this league. You're playing good teams all the time, and you're not going to get the breaks your way all the time. So it's important that you stay with it, and it's a 60-minute game, and that's what we did tonight.
They are playing hard for Craig Berube. And you got to ask yourself this, too. Let's say they do get in. Let's say they do win a first round. I mean, does he keep his job? I guess if Joel Quenneville's out there and wants to come to St. Louis, which I think he does, Berube would have to get like to the Western Conference final to keep his job. But he's been impressive, and so have the Blues. Thoughts on the Blues? Come on aboard. All right, lap two. Gosh, I can't tell you how thrilled and impressed I am with our Billikens. You lose that game. It's 5 losses in a row. It's almost game, set, match. Instead, we saw great resolve. 6.5 scholarship players. That's because Bess is not right, even though he scored 14 points. I mean, keep in mind that Javon Bess, when he's not on the court, or last week, when he wasn't on the court, He was walking around in a walking boot. And they beat up on a Dayton team who had won three in a row. They led by 18 points at one point. Everybody had their moments. DJ Foreman had the finest game, I think, of his career. Steal and dunk, Euro step, slithering through the defense, bucket and one. But the guy was Kevin Durant for 20 minutes. Hassan French dominated the second half. He had Fred Thatch knocking down a three. Likewise for Deion Wiley. The offensive rebounding was unbelievable. And Tremaine Isabel last night looked like the guy we saw highlights of from last year from Drexel when he averaged 21 points a game. He looked like a pure scorer. They pounded the glass. They are a relentless offensive rebounding team. They are thin. They don't shoot it great. But last night, it gives you hope. It gives you hope that maybe anything could happen in Brooklyn, New York at the Atlantic 10 tourney. Let's hear from Travis Ford. Yeah, he's right about that. Foreman, 18. French, 10 and 8. Bess, 14 on one foot. Isabel, 11. Fred Thatch had 12 points and 7 rebounds. Afterwards, the people in the studio back at CBS Sports Network, they said Fred Thatch is going to end up being a really good player in the Atlantic 10. All right, lap three. Mizzou, tough to get mad. Number one team in America. You don't have Mark Smith, and you compete. Down 6 at halftime. Mizzou has heart. They have pride. They just don't have as much hope or talent right now. I can't picture that team in that conference making, you know, a tournament run. But you improve some of your young players. Pickett's really a good player. And you have good players coming in. Harold Beverly, 4-star, 6'4 swingman from Monteverde Academy. His ranking is 80th in the country. Keon Brooks, 6'7. In some rankings, he's a 5-star. He's 23rd in the country. Mario McKinney from Bashan, just a winner. Trey Jackson, 6'8, 200 pounds from Wichita State, from Wichita. And his ranking is 81st. And then they had this, I think, Isaiah Mosley from Rockbridge, 6'5 player. So they're going to be pretty good next season. I mean, Javon Pickett is really good. Drew Smith is maybe their best offensive player in the program. He'll be a Tiger next season playing. He's the transfer from Evansville, who averaged in double figures 2 years in a row. Torrance Watson will be able to score. They need to keep Tillman one more year. And I hope he's smart enough to realize that. One more year for Jeremiah Tillman would be a big thing for the Missouri program. All right, lap four. It's the best 8-15 team in America. And Illinois has been like this for a while. Minnesota, Maryland, and now last night they knocked off number 9, Michigan State. Here's how it sounded at the end of the night when the court was stormed in Champaign.
Meanwhile, precious seconds ticking off. Great defense. Great defense by Illinois. Well-deserved win here today. That is going to put the finishing touches on a huge one. And here they come. They should. They deserve to storm Illini. Storm!
It's not just beating a top 10 team. It was beating them because of what they stand for. And I mean, they're everything that I want to try to be. And, there was a There was an excitement level because of that. But there was also, my thoughts were almost completely with our guys. I'm so happy for our guys because we weren't ready early to win. And now we've had enough. And we've kept working, and they deserve that.
The story, Io DeSumo. It was 68-68, and he comes down, this freshman, back-to-back threes. Back-to-back threes in the final couple of minutes when the game was tied. As somebody once said, the kid's got moxie. 24 points. And I speak as an Illinois fan. I'd love to see him win. Stay one more year. They should chant that at every game from here on out. One more year. One more year. They used to do that with Nate Robinson, I think, in Washington. I'm telling you something. If you're a Big Ten team, you do not want to play Illinois. I don't know if I've ever seen a team 8-15 this good. Really. Plowsy, you were watching last night. Thoughts?
It's all about IU. I mean, you said it best. He could get drafted late in the first round if you actually think about it. If you look at his game log and his potential, if he stays, though, and Underwood, I think now they're playing with Underwood, whereas at the beginning of the year, I think they were kind of all playing 1v1. Love to see this. I don't care about what the record will be at the end of the year. I care about progression with the young guys, and that win and the last few wins have shown that they can play with the big boys in the Big Ten.
Thoughts on Illinois? Come on aboard. That was the most energizing game of the night. I mean, Slews was really good. The Blues was really good. But Illinois wins Tuesday night. Lap 5. National Signing Day was at Norwood Hills this morning. The Lombardo football chapter really does a cool thing. They invite about 50 guys today because the early signing period kind of screwed it up, took a little luster from it. But mom and dad and the kid, they go on stage, say their name, the school. It's nice. God bless those parents. They deserve this. The blood, sweat, and tears. You're darn right they should be rewarded and not have to pay for some of these colleges. By the way, I did look it up again yesterday. Tulane, $70,000 a year. Imagine that. So $280,000 and you have a degree from Tulane. Wouldn't it be better just to buy a 4-family, you know, with $200,000 and, or just buy some type of property and like go to UMSL and then see that stuff and invested, put it in a mutual fund? Gosh, I don't know how that makes sense. Who can pay that anyway? Anyway, stay with the topic. Real Sports has done a piece on how upper middle class or upper class period are not allowing their kids to play football anymore because of the concussions. And it's the lower economic classes where the numbers are still good and maybe even rising. The concussion scare is causing parents to not let their kids play anymore. Let's take a listen from this Real Sports piece.
2012, the year before you became the head coach,
yep.
To 2017.
Yes.
The number of low-income kids on the high school football team here in Princeton.
Sure.
More than tripled.
Well, it feels like that's the trend, right?
In fact, we've learned it is the trend in Princeton and across the country. For the last year, Real Sports has filed Freedom of Information Act requests in towns and cities across the United States to learn if there's a change in the makeup of who's playing America's favorite game a decade into the sports concussion crisis. The answer, it seems, is yes. In town after town, in city after city, records show that overall, the number of boys playing football is falling fast, except among one group, the poor. Boys whose families qualify for government assistance, their participation in football is on the rise. To get a statistically significant sample, we focused our investigation on one of America's bellwethers, the state of Illinois. In town after town, we saw a reliable pattern. While the number of upper and middle class boys playing football is steadily falling, the portion of teams made up by low-income boys is up nearly 25%. 25% in just the last few years.
Really interesting. Bernard Goldberg, Real Sports, on the story. I successfully kept my boys out of football, although Dom at the end wanted to be a possession receiver. his senior year. I just thought it was a bad idea. I mean, if he wanted to, he probably could, but I didn't like it. So Plowsby, let's just say you have a son. Would you encourage it, or would you say, why don't we, let's stay with baseball, basketball, golf?
I certainly wouldn't force him out of football, but I would certainly try to give him other options. I would certainly try to get him into golf, something like that, something outside, something I could play with him as a, you know, when he was a kid and at the adult stage.
Would you prefer if he didn't?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Brian, let's say you had a little possession
receiver.
Yeah,
I would prefer he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get a scholarship, though, you know, and save dad and mom, you know, 40, 50 thou.
So it's all about you, huh?
Well, it would all depend on the situation. If he's 6'4", which I doubt, then maybe you can play football.
All right, lap six. I have a food thought. Met one of the most amazing people yesterday. His name is Dave Bailey, and he owns 8 restaurants. I'm sure you guys have been to some of these restaurants. Chocolate Bar.
Yep.
Hugo's Small Batch, Bailey's Range, Fifth Wheel, Small Batch.
I've been to Bailey's.
I've been to Bailey's. I've been to the Chocolate Bar. Had a chocolate martini.
Oh, boy. I bet that is good.
It went good. It was very good.
Yeah. So our food pick this week is the Bridge Tap House and Wine Bar. It's on Locust in downtown St. Louis. And it is just, oh, my God. Their mac and cheese. Oh, goodness. It was so good.
Does this family also own Rooster?
Yes.
Yeah, I love Rooster.
Great breakfast place. Oh, yeah. Did you go one in South Grand? Or?
One in South Grand and one downtown as well.
Yeah. Right
near where that wine bar you were talking about.
So, you know what I can't understand, Brian, is how a guy who is, I think he's barely 40, and he has a wife and 3 kids, how at that age he could have like 8 restaurants? It's unbelievable.
Good for him.
He's just a great businessman slash chef slash guy. So if you get a chance, I would try Bridge Tap House. We're going to profile them this Friday on Channel 5. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours, your thoughts on the night in St. Louis sports. It Black Tuesday actually turned into a terrific Tuesday. And somebody texted me, Frank, you forgot to mention Kansas also lost. Yes. Congratulations to Bruce Weber, Kansas State, led by Xavier Sneed from Hazelwood Central, beats number 13 Kansas last night.
I think Kansas's Big 12 streak is in major jeopardy now.
So they would be 7-2. Wait, no, let's see. Kansas is 6-4.
Yeah.
All right.
They really needed that win, I think, to try to improve their chances. But now they're behind Iowa State, Baylor, and Kansas State.
Feel good for our guy, Bruce Weber. All right, we'll take a short timeout. We'll talk a little baseball with Bob Nightingale.